Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Chemda, I just had the Coca-Cola new dream flavor.
What?
It says, I honestly think it tastes like Coke, but off. And I think a mistake happened in the factory, and they're like, I can't waste all this Coke. And they're like, it tastes like dream.
I think,
but you know me, I think everything's a trick. I see there's a show now about this guy, McAfee, the guy who made the antivirus stuff, but it's some true crime thing. So, you know, there's probably, you know, sex and murder and a whole bunch of stuff going on. I think if you're that kind of person, whatever this show's about, you're probably the kind of person that gave us the viruses in the first place. I can fix it. I know you can fix it. McAfee, you made it. Is that a theory going around out there?
I don't know, because I'm not sure about this show.
It doesn't matter the show. I'm just saying, I thought this even before the show came out that I could tell he's going to be a bad person. So now I'm putting it together, being like, yes, Keith, you're a genius. We can fix that in our company. I bet you can, because you made it. You're the kind of guy that likes putting these computer worms on my asshole.
These are very interesting conspiracy
theories. Not really. They're not that deep. A guy makes antivirus software, and the day a virus comes out, he has the answer 2 hours later. That's not so deep. Dream flavor isn't real. It's shit.
It's just a dream.
Metal God. I'm sorry.
Maybe I'm in a dream right now. Well, and I'm interrupting yours somehow.
If you make a joke, this is the world we live in. Hey, big news. We're trying something new again this month on the 24th. Silent Trailers will be live on our YouTube channel. How about that? You don't even need a ticket. Oop. We're going to see how that goes. Just make sure you're subscribed to the Keith and the Girl YouTube channel. Hit the bell. That's how you find out about it. You know how it works. You'll be able to see the full lineup for September 24th, Silent Trailers, this coming week on YouTube as well. Exciting. Also, this weekend is Labor Day weekend. We won't be recording regular Keith and the Girl episodes that week, but we're also adding content to the YouTube channel. So again, make sure you're subscribed. Keith and the Girl VIPers! You'll have a last week episode with Rod and Karen on Sunday. So check your dashboard, keithandthegirl.com/VIP, for discounts for September 24th backstage passes, the September 17th production meeting. This will be the last production meeting, and everything else I mentioned. Okay? So those are the two things. keithandthegirl.com/VIP for all the deals, and Keith and the Girl at YouTube. All right. Let's get right to it. Today's guest, yes. Your favorites. I pray at night for these two guys' safety.
Well, you prayed and then you got Coke Dream, so we're close.
From Conan, Tonight Show, and he has an album called AKA, where I'm included in it, okay? In the most flattering way, I don't know, but I know it's me. Mike Kaplan, how you doing, Mike?
I'm so happy to be. Is this still the Coke commercial? Happy to be here.
They said make it your own.
Dream, conspiracy theory, VIPers, Coke.
Mike, of course, has the podcast Broccoli and Ice Cream and The Faucet. You want to download those? And, you know, you see this online. If you like this, then you'll also like that. You'll like the podcast Here We Are in Mind Under Matter from the great Shane Moss. Hello, Shane.
Hey, thanks for having me. I hope this wasn't a kind of Coke Dream mistake by having me. More of a I want to be like more of a Flaming Cheetos kind of a mistake to happen.
Well, let's see if you live up to it. I mean, already people in chat have questions for you. Dumb Industries is asking, how did Shane's hair / beard grow 3 feet since the last time I saw him a month ago?
Yeah, that's a good question. This
you guys
actually
didn't think you'd get hair tips today. You didn't think that, and here we are.
I'd like to guess LSD.
Yeah, pure LSD. I started this during COVID, and I've cut it. So this is actually the last time I went to get my beard trimmed. There was a language barrier, and they cut it way shorter than I expected. And this is even shorter than it should be.
But now you know a new language. What's the language you used?
Spanish.
You do carry drugs on you quite often. Are you nervous about, you at all about your look?
Allegedly.
Not allegedly. There's no fucking surprise. It hangs off his belt like a keychain. Are you nervous like, hey, cops are going to give me a little extra attention?
Now with all the hair, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's a big, because I used to look, you know, a lot more wholesome and clean cut and everything. And so I could always, I never really sweated it when I got pulled over or whatever.
Yeah, and you had, when during the haircut, you had like best case scenario options. But now it's like their best case scenario is you just came home from that show alone.
I'm a lot more cautious now with all of the hair. Absolutely. Hmm.
Is there any?
And this is actually not only that, but this is the least amount of psychedelics I have done in my entire life since I've had all this. So it's the most I've ever looked like I do psychedelics and the least that I've actually been doing.
Well, if you're trying to not show that you're a psychedelic person on the outside, that t-shirt's not helping you either.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I like artsy t-shirts. It's fun.
So just for everyone out there listening, a tip. If you want to get heavily into psychedelics, the outfit you want is a suit and tie and just a crew cut, like a military uniform. You want to dress like the president and then you'll be set. Yeah.
I picture Shane is about to get some more drugs and then he passes like a window and he sees himself. He's like, idiot, I'm on drugs. I am drugs. What am I doing?
I am drugs.
Remind me, Shane, you were in the psych ward a couple times. Was drugs related?
Twice. Yeah.
Twice. At what age?
The first one was in 2017 and
it's 2022 for the record.
So the modern age. Yeah.
So I would have been about 37 then. And then, the second time was just after my 40th birthday. The first time drugs were heavily involved. The second time they weren't at all. Oh. It was actually, I shouldn't even say that because it's interesting.
Because they both were.
No, because it was actually the exact opposite. I had, and this kind of happened to me both times. I'm bipolar, and I had this, whenever I think I was drinking and smoking heavily before that, and I cut all of that out. And so when you're just like not putting depressants into your body all of the time, and your body is like habituated to just a constant flow of depressants running through it, it just can launch you. So
was it suicidal thoughts? Was it thinking you're a super spy?
Wait, I imagine it's more manic thoughts. So it's more manic. I am God, I am everything. I am furthest away from suicide.
Yeah, that, but more paranoid and more, more nerve-wracking. A lot of, I believe I'm in a simulation, but the simulation's coming from inside my mind. So everything that I'm seeing is a product of my mind. So
but you may not be wrong about that. I want to nod my head at some of this. Those are some of my options in my head. This might be a simulation.
If you're ever feeling that way, what you don't want to do is watch the news and think you're responsible for what's happening on the news because of your own inner turmoil or whatever is causing possible nuclear war. And then you're like every plane that flies overhead, you're like, oh my God, are time travelers dropping a bomb on me to stop me from launching? It gets really confusing in a hurry when you're manic. The second time the psych ward was the beneficial one. The first time wasn't at all, but the second time there was, because there's always people crazier than you in there. And then the second time, and I didn't have meds or anything, I just noticed, oh, that's the cognitive mistakes that I'm making. I could see the patterns in their thinking that I was relating to, but I was able to see the errors that they were making that it's harder to see your own faults than
that's
to see
so
them
funny.
In others.
Mike and I were just writing. I just wrote back to Mike today. It's long emails and, you know, tons of questions. And one of them was about watching other couples. And I was mentioning that I think it's really important to my own coupledom that I watch other couples, but in that same way that I am in the room with people that I relate to in a very specific way, because then I could see like, oh, that's what it looks like when you bicker over nothing, or that's what it looks like when you're kind to your partner, like, oh, that's an option there instead of like biting someone's head off, because it's so much clearer when there are other people doing it.
This is so weird because I was just receiving an email that was very similar to what you're saying. So I think Shane is causing all of this.
Do you guys worry at all? Between your podcasts, there's some deep stuff in there. And I want to be clear, I don't mean boring. That's what I hear when I hear deep, but I enjoy it very much. But are you Do you worry at all that maybe that's what's making you crazy? Maybe we're not supposed to know so much about life, because I'll tell you what, you guys bring up more questions than answers, and then you're going to go batshit.
There's a,
where is it? There it is.
I kind of agree with that a little. I have a theory that being a comic doesn't help that, because you get rewarded for harvesting your skeletons and everything. Like any mm-hmm. screw up that you have, anything, any way in which you can be vulnerable, right. You get a laugh, and then your brain is like, "Ooh, I got a laugh from doing that. What other
That's
weird
so true.
Or kinky stuff or whatever can I?" And so then you end up identifying as like a much stranger person than you probably would have been had you just done a different path.
It's true. We've gotten a couple people coming on here like, "Hey, why did you take that next turn or that next decision?" And they're like, at the end of the day, if it sucks, it's still material. It's still something that I can talk about. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I guess like you have to have a story and interest in your own life, but that was dangerous.
If I may, I feel like it's good to be able to, when like suffering arises in our experience, to be able to alchemize it if we can, to process it. And if you're a comedian or an artist of some kind, to be like, "Hey, here's what I went through and here's where I am now." But then that's a good way to be. It's good to be descriptive about it as opposed to prescriptive about it, to be like, "Oh, well, I need new suffering. I need new stories, new dumb." But like, that's dumb. Don't do that. There will be like, don't worry. Like, until you're a divinely enlightened Buddha, like, you'll have things to fix. You'll make mistakes. You don't have to make extra mistakes. There'll be plenty
suffer.
Mistakes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think.
But I want to make the most interesting mistakes.
Sure. Right.
That's the hackiest thing you could say.
Yeah, you probably do attract it, you know? When Chris Rock was slapped, was he like, "Okay, maybe this is good"? Because what's Chris Rock's best work? Bring the Pain, when he cheated on his wife and he's going through a divorce and she's up his ass making sure every move he makes. It's interesting. Like, one of my best albums, I think, is called Drip Drip, and it's about realizing I'm an alcoholic. It was about my divorce. So, yeah, so subconsciously, I want to make a great album again.
Yeah, I think that that it is very subconscious. I think, of course, you would consciously say exactly what Mike just said, but I don't think our conscious control over things has as much power as our consciousness loves to tell ourselves that it does.
Oh yeah, I think that it must be that Will Smith had just like a very slow subconscious reaction to Chris Rock's title, "Bring the Pain." It's like, man, I just watched it.
And Muhammad Ali was like, "Okay."
And then he cracks a joke about his wife, and he's just like, "Yeah, well, this is a sign. This is a message."
Am I gonna be track number one? Smack.
Will Smith's done some psychedelics, so it all checks out.
Well, I gotta say, my day started fantastic already. I went to the bodega, and I get my papers, the New York Post and the Daily News. Nobody seems to sell the Daily News where I'm at. Anyway, this one place opened up. They have the Daily News, but I've been going there recently. That's been sold out.
Sold out?
I go there today. I don't know who else is doing podcast old school. So I go there today, and he goes, I saved a Daily News in the back for you.
What?
I cannot tell you how this made my whole day.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Where everybody knows a newspaper.
And I don't talk to this guy. I guess I just buy the best.
I think the best part of my day was that the way that you pronounced the place where you get these papers sounded like you were saying bidet.
Bodega, which is a new business idea.
You get your newspapers and you get some water up your butt.
Oh, it's very relevant.
You sit around, you have some tea or like a hookah lounge type of situation. You have some drinks and you sit there getting water, like the VIP area, maybe. It's champagne or something that gets spritzed up there.
I think the world's just so shitty. This free newspaper made me so happy. And then I open up the newspaper and I'm bummed out again. But for a moment, so pleased. I see trending, as you do too, I'm sure, Biden making a big televised speech yesterday. And I didn't see the speech, but what I'm reading from headlines is, and the Post has huge headlines. I like their headlines the most, is that he said, hey, if you're into MAGA or you're into Trump, you're a detriment to this country. Now, you got to be careful. Now, that's absolutely true, but you got to be careful saying that because it costs Clinton, right? Oh, I'm deplorable for voting? I'll show you deplorable. Oh, will you, adult? Okay. That's what
flies
that's what
with honey.
Says.
Flies yeah. with honey.
But yeah. I do understand it. At the same time, Biden today said he doesn't really mean that.
Oh, my God. Go home. There's no one else. God, when do you have to retire? Jeez.
He said he doesn't consider any Trump supporter a threat to the country after all. I don't consider any Trump supporter a threat to the country, in contrast to his earlier remarks. He said the 74 million people who voted for Trump weren't voting for attacking the Capitol. They weren't voting for overruling the election. They were going to a philosophy that Trump happened to put forward.
What was that? Some passive aggressive, did I say that kind of shit? That was weird. They're like, you're not looking to ruin us. You're just people.
I think he's just doing like a stand-up comic, just trying to have an interesting story every day.
It worked for Trump, right?
I do think anyone who calls for the use of violence fails to condemn violence when it's used, refuses to acknowledge an election. What were on those flags when the people did do violence? But okay. Insist upon changing the way in which we rule and count votes is a threat to our democracy. Democracy, everything we stand for rests on the platform of democracy.
Hey, Biden, half the country just fell asleep. I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm saying know your audience.
I know which half of the country Sleepy Joe is on. Falling asleep. That was a sleeping joke. I love the nicknames. It's just like the sloppiest. Trump gave the sloppiest nicknames. And people, some comics were like, he's hilarious. He's funny. And I'm like, I'm not sure.
He knows the six adjectives. Yeah.
No, he's hilarious. Like bullies are hilarious when you're too young to understand or too scared not to laugh or some kind of weird traumatic response to that. But it's not hilarious. What was the hilarious joke? Grab him by the pussy. They're sending all their rapists from Mexico. I can shoot someone in the middle of Times Square or wherever it was in Manhattan. Which one of these were hilarious?
Never made me laugh until this tweet the other day or on Trump Social or whatever it is, or Truth Social, where he said, why are people so mean?
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing. That's the only time Donald Trump has ever made me laugh and or probably ever will. And
nobody gave him
really
a free
terrific.
Newspaper that day.
But what's it like if we knew when we were kids that when we're adults, you could just make shit up. Like if somebody says, Keith, did you steal money from my wallet? You go, you stole money from my wallet. You know, we're the Democrats are the Nazis. Like you could just say that.
When they say the youth is wasted on the young, this is the kind of shit they're talking about. Can you imagine how much we would talk back to our teachers if we knew that they were just human adults and this is what human adulting is?
And that's why I'd like to pitch my new social media platform, Youth Social. We're reaching out to them and taking the truth out of everything.
Biden says, you can't love your country only when you win. We have to work together. Well, of course I can.
Oh, my God.
Of course I can. When Roe versus Wade is overturned, when we're arguing about human rights, you could say you don't want to play along. I think that's fine. By the way, is Biden, he must have been getting people complaining on social media or something. It's been one night and you're like, hey, what I meant was give it a weekend and see if anyone gives a fuck.
I also, I don't see what the point of all these speeches are, except for maybe just getting in the news every day, because it seems like it doesn't matter what kind of news.
Biden, Biden, Biden. Who are you voting for? Well, I've been hearing a lot about this Biden fella.
Donald Trump has said that if elected for second presidency, He would pardon everybody, all the January 6th rioters.
Wow.
And apologize to the hundreds of them that were convicted.
Well, he's got those felons votes that they can't vote.
I guess he's thinking there's 800 of them. That equals a lot of families, and maybe they'll vote.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he could have pardoned them already, to be clear, before he left office.
That's the thing, but he's so comfortable just saying shit. And maybe that's right. what Biden's trying. He's like, how about this? And we're like, no, that's real shit. You got to like completely throw everybody off. Just end your sentences with blah, 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 blah. And then just all of a sudden things will happen for you.
And I feel like it's like, you know, how in comedy, every once in a while, there's like a paradigm shift where we're like, oh, man, Dane Cook got famous with MySpace. I should try to do that. But you can't. It's like the modern art person who drew like nothing on a canvas and be like, I'll do that. Nope. Somebody already did that. Like Rob Delaney goes viral on Twitter and like, oh, nope. Somebody already did that. Bo Burnham on YouTube. But you gotta figure out like Trump already did his lunacy. Like you got to come up with your own.
Yeah.
Full pardons with an apology to many. I met with and am financially supporting people that are incredible. So he's supporting some of these people. He's saying, I don't even know if that's true, but supposedly he's meeting them and paying their lawyer fees.
No, he's always so open-ended with people who are awesome. People who are, what are you even describing? There's no details.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm in Boston right now, and tomorrow I'm going to a celebration of life for this old comedian and booker who died recently, Dick Doherty, who I started out at his clubs. I know Shane used to work for him a lot, and like he like helped us a lot. And also before my time, I learned that he sometimes would pay people in Dick bucks, like Disney dollars, and yeah. I don't know what they could be used, but I wouldn't be surprised if Trump's like, I'm supporting a lot of these people, they're getting a lot of Trump bucks, a lot of Trump dollars, like just Monopoly money with his face on it, because he doesn't have any. I mean, money kind of is also just like, you know, a fictional thing that you have to believe in, like fairy dust, to be like, we all agree that this is something okay, and it's not.
Well, just for the record, he does have money, doesn't he? Because people supported him after his presidency and donated a lot of money, right?
All I know
or
is
or maybe
like
the stuff he sold to Putin. I don't know.
Like a celebration of life party at a funeral. I think that's good. This I can't make it because the same day I'm having a wheelchair dance party. But it does sound fun to think positive, and I like it.
Well, that doesn't scare you that he paid some people in dick bucks? Like, that's... I thought you were going to be like, but we're still celebrating his life. You might want to explain that a little more.
He was a shady character in many ways. And,
okay, I got it right.
This is some speech.
He
are you doing the eulogy?
I think meant well.
Meant well.
Things,
oh, my God.
Things were tight, and when money's tight, it makes you a little more like Machiavellian than the average person would usually be if it weren't for financial stressors. So
what a bow. What a bow on that present.
He wasn't my favorite booker ever. But,
okay.
Everybody likes a party. I hear there's LSD.
Everybody likes a party. I'm happy he existed, and some of the things that happened along the way were good as well.
I want to go just to see what the fuck is up.
He was just a character. That's the.
You are not making it better. Is this to please don't eulogize me ever?
He was just such a character, and like every. Most people knew this about him. He was a character, and it was like it came. If you agreed to a gig with Dick Doherty, you were kind of signing up for the Dick Bucks.
What character is this, Jafar?
He's a delightful character as well. But I mean, probably today, if he were still alive, then Dick Bucks would be crypto, and I feel like we'd all be investing. So,
what does delightful mean?
Oh, I mean, Jafar, look at him. He's so fancy. He really knows how to enter a room and sing a song. And
give delight to the, that's the descriptive word.
Put on a show.
Okay, yeah. He's a showman. All right.
Yeah, he was absolutely a showman.
Wow, I hope you guys are editing your speeches.
All you have to do is edit this podcast. Yeah.
Kemda brought up the classified documents of that Trump had, and apparently the FBI came up with 43 empty file folders that are marked classified, meaning he took out papers and most likely, I think, gave them away to nefarious people. What do we think about this? Are we on this train of thought, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right. I didn't know that there were 43 empty classified folders, but yeah. It doesn't make sense that there just would be, like, other than I'm reminded of a guy we started out with, Eric Charles Nielsen, a comedian in Boston. He used to have a joke about how he had like two folders on his computer. One of them was called Plots to Take Over the World, and one was called Plots to Destroy the World. But one of them had the other one's files in it to throw people off. And then one of them had nothing. But
and one of the people we're talking about is the president.
Yeah. So I think, my friend's absurd joke, in reality, it does seem like the former president, that everyone's like, it's unprecedented for people to search a former president's home. Well, but also it is precedented to search a criminal's home.
Yeah, it's just there's been a lot of new things over the last 6 years. You know, we're trying out a lot of new stuff. I like that. I appreciate that there's still somewhere where file cabinets aren't just being used, but they're important. That's something. As a 42-year-old man, I'm like, that feels nice.
I'm with you. I get newspapers still. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. He says, I talked to these people that stormed the Capitol. He doesn't say stormed the Capitol, of course. But he says, they're firemen. They're policemen. They're people in the military. The Republicans had harsh words for the federal prosecutors who had sentenced almost 250 criminals in connection with the siege that left 5 people dead. Let's not forget that at the Capitol. You know this radical left, says Trump. These people are sick. There's something wrong with them. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. They're sick and they're cold.
They're the sickest ever. He loves using disgust, like filthy women, stuff like that. There's interesting science, but when you get like angry at someone, people are like, hey, that's an overreaction. But if you trigger disgust in someone, it like gets them on your side more often. And that's something he uses a lot. But I think if I were Trump, I would use the strategy because he has the conspiracy crowd and also his biggest fans will believe absolutely anything. Mm-hmm. I would just say I took those for your own interests. Like I'm a whistleblower. I would just, if I were Trump, I'd be like, I'm blowing the whistle. And people are like, oh, wow, he's giving us. We knew they were up to something because conspiracy theorists always think that there's something going on, but it's never the obvious thing that's actually happening because they want to have solved a Scooby-Doo mystery or something like that.
Yeah, but I think just like the January 6th, like people think they're not going to get in trouble. And Trump trumps that because he doesn't get in trouble. He says whatever he wants and does whatever he wants and became president. So I think like if this was somebody else, I think they'd already run by now. Although I think the FBI has his passport, but I think he still thinks that nothing's going to happen and that these are just, you know, the FBI is being jerks and everyone's a jerk. And when they give me my files back, we could move on with this country. If he knew how much this could cause trouble.
I'm sorry, Ken. The mic's head is about to explode.
Okay? Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's talking about the Federal Bureau of Reinvestigation. Okay, Mike.
Oh, okay.
I mean, now I was a little lost there for a second.
Wait, what did I say?
The FBI, and we get lost with the fancy acronyms that we prefer to always hear the full name.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yes.
Thanks for laughing out loud at that, Mike.
I just want to say, Shane, please don't give him any more ideas because I know he might not be listening. But somebody might be listening to be like, that's good. Jot that down, send it on up the flagpole.
Well, he does throw a lot of spaghetti against the wall. I always, there's this one of my favorite clips of his was when he was talking, he was at one of his rallies. He was talking about, he's like, we got to drain the swamp. And everyone goes crazy. He's like, drain the swamp. We say that now. It's what we say. I remember, you know, when they told me try saying drain the swamp a while back. And I was like, I don't know. I don't really like it. It sounds corny. And I was like, well, all right, I'll try it out one time. And you know, people clapped and stuff. So we say drain the swamp now. And his whole audience was like,
I guess. Yeah. Do we clap for
like,
that?
What's happening? It was like the first time I've seen a Trump audience be like, are we being played right now? Like, right. This isn't. I thought this was a genuine thing.
This is so funny. Just to go back, I said FBR, right?
Yes.
FBR, because I use that for OMAT. We're writing FBR fast, bad, and wrong.
Oh, I heard an FBI. I auto-corrected you in my own brain and then thought you were making a joke about acronyms.
I was.
I didn't hear you say it at all. So I'm all caught up now. But yeah, that's I feel like Trump and the... You know how, like, deepfakes are a thing people are worried about now? Like, oh no, if there's enough information out there, if there's enough video and audio, then you can have video of people make people say ridiculous things. But, like, people could just literally go through the video and audio that he's said so many things. And, like, I feel like it hasn't even been tapped yet. Like, that, I didn't see that drain the swamp speech, or it just got lost.
Right.
So we need to fill the swamp.
I was gonna say he's right when he talks about how, hey, these people are cops and firemen at the insurrection. A cop just got arrested, a former NYPD cop, got the most yet 10 years in prison for attacking guards that were there, took a flagpole, started hitting people, tore off one guy's gas mask after he brought him to the ground.
That's the idea of saying, hey, we shouldn't be arresting these people because they're police officers, because they're the military, because of the category of person they are. We shouldn't judge them by the content of their character or the specific actions that they took. Just look at the hat that they're wearing, and then you know what to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically.
Do you guys think that he's actually going to be charged and prosecuted, or do you think Trump will go to jail?
I think that yes, he will be found guilty. I don't think he can just go to jail. I mean, like we said, there's no precedent for this, but I think he will be locked up in a way, and that might be house arrest with no phone and
coffin,
some kind of. If he doesn't die first, and he's not going to off himself, because I think he thinks he can get out of anything, which keeps him positive. But I do think it can't be covered anymore. He definitely has something. Some punishment has to come down, but you can't just send an ex-president to jail.
I think he's a level of white male privilege that we literally don't know how to punish.
Yeah, I think that if they don't send him to jail, they should call it the Federal Bureau of Relaxation. Am I right?
So this cop, Thomas Webster, will spend the next 10 years behind bars. I, too, wish you didn't come to Washington, D.C., says the judge. I, too, wish you stayed at home in New York, like you say, that you had not come to the Capitol that day, because all of us would be far better off, not just you, your family, the country. And the guy goes, do I get less time if I hear this stupidity? You know, like, why do I have to hear this? You already gave me 10 years.
Well, I think because he said he probably said his regrets about being there. He shouldn't have been there. So the judge is like, I too wish you weren't there. That isn't like noble or anything. You made things worse, not only for yourself and your family, but everybody. What were you saying, Mike?
Oh, I'm not a genie. I'm a judge. Like, wishes are not the currency of this venue.
Webster retired from the NYPD in 2011, drove to Washington alone that day, and joined the violent mob. His lawyer at the time said, while arguing for a shorter sentence, his client had been under, quote, an extraordinary amount of influence from Trump's election falsehoods. No pardon for you!
Oh, right. For telling the truth?
Go fuck it. No pardon for you!
Right. Take Trump's name out your face. Right.
I love the part where he changed the law to try to like put Hillary in jail, basically, and under the law that he made, he's in so much more trouble. That's amazing.
Have you guys heard of Isaac Besheva Singer, the Jewish folk writer? He real quick.
Yeah. But you explain
for course.
Those who...
Yeah. For your listeners, of course. And for Chemda and Shane, but not Keith. he writes about this town called Chelm, full of stupid people in Poland. Just the town. and mostly the elders of the town. And there's like a shortage of sour cream one year, and they need sour cream for some holiday. So the elders pass a law that says, okay, we're going to call water sour cream, and we're going to call sour cream water. And now we have a river full and wells full of sour cream. So there's no more sour cream shortage. We do have to worry about this water shortage, but that'll be for next week. But it truly seems like, you know, I mean, like, just tell Trump, like, put him in jail and be like, everyone else is in jail. He built a wall around you to protect you from everyone else.
Yeah, I am surprised they didn't give him a fake Twitter account at some point. You're doing great. And, you know,
well, those they do in now. The know called hit like Truth Social. Yeah,
I see. A Kansas teacher sued a school district that suspended her for refusing to use a student's preferred pronouns, reached a settlement. She was awarded $95,000.
You mean he? Yeah.
Wait, the teacher? The teacher was awarded?
The teacher. She. Yes, to be clear. Attorneys with Alliance Defending Freedom, which describes itself as advocating for the right of people to freely live out their faith, called the settlement a victory for free speech of public schools. Meanwhile, the Southern Poverty Law Center describes that group as a hate group. Ah, potato, potato. Pamela Rickard sued the school district in March, saying she was reprimanded and suspended for 3 days last year for addressing a biological female student by the student's legal and enrolled last name. A school counselor had told this woman, the teacher, that the student preferred an alternative first name, and a classmate told the teacher that the student preferred he, him pronouns. The teacher said, I give a shit. She began addressing the student as Miss, using the student's last name. In an effort to avoid using the student's preferred last name, Ricard believed addressing the student as Miss and the last name respected the student while also upholding their religious convictions. The district at the time did not have a formal policy regarding student preferred name. They just told her on the side. And she said it violated my conscience.
Well, I hope this teacher is calling everybody by their government name no matter what. There is no Sam. There's Samantha. There is no Danny. There's Daniel.
Well, you say Mr. or Ms. Ms. Ricard is a Christian and holds sincere religious beliefs consistent with the traditional Christian and biological understanding of the human person and biological sex, said the lawsuit.
But I thought that had nothing to do with, you know, church and state separate. I thought that was a separation.
You still can't offend a conscience.
We all know about how scientifically rigorous Christianity was back in the time of Jesus, right. around 2,000 years ago. He wrote it down, he said it, and it was definitely exactly what this lady believes.
Other thoughts? Satan buried dinosaur bones to confuse us. Ms. Rickard believes that God created human beings as either male or female, that this sex is fixed in each person from the moment of conception, and that it cannot be changed regardless of an individual person's feelings, desires, or preferences.
We don't do feelings, desires, or preferences here. Jesus would hate it.
This class better be science, right? I think everybody
sounds like
that.
She has some preferences.
The federal court ruled right? that she is free to speak without violating her conscience. $95,000. The court also said that instead of using students' preferred pronouns, she can continue avoiding pronouns for students who have requested pronouns inconsistent with her biological sex.
How do you do that?
You just point at them and say you.
That's
a pronoun.
Well, you do what she did. You go, ma'am. Mm. Ma'am, like when you're going Ms. to a student, you're deliberately being an asshole.
Just start calling them by numbers. You don't want to be too confused. You're a teacher.
Right.
Especially to a male student. I feel like ma'am doesn't do it either.
Big news in Saturday Night Live. More people are leaving the show. Mm. It's a real shakeup.
More like Saturday Night Relaxation.
What's going to happen?
Saturday Night Lounge.
So far we have A.D. Bryant left, Pete Davidson left, Kate McKinnon left, Kyle Mooney. Now, these people have all been on for a long time, but also...
I thought Kate McKinnon left, and every time I see her, I thought she's doing, like, favors and dropping in. She seems busy.
Alex Moffat is leaving or was kicked out. You're not sure. Melissa Villasenor and Aristotle Atari.
No, not Aristotle.
Who was on for one season. That's probably probably wasn't his choice. Probably.
But isn't it supposed to be a rotating cast? Isn't it? Doesn't that kind of make it fun? And then people sort of graduate out and do other projects and drop in every here and again for funsies.
Let's see what happens.
It is fun to leave of your own volition after a decade or two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely leave the fun way.
Yeah.
Well, are we taking recommendations now? Leave the fun way. Yeah, that's
you can't
probably
fire
more
fun. Me. I quit. That's the way to go.
You can't fire me. I'm having too much fun.
Moffitt played Eric Trump and Joe Biden. Villasenor played Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Bjork, if that rings a bell. No more. No more politics and no more music on SNL. I don't know how they're going to do it, but these people are out of here. Oh, my goodness. Do you guys watch
Where
that?
Are they going to find more people? No. You think there's
comedians
more people?
Comedians don't watch SNL, do they?
No, I think. I never liked it. I remember being a kid and being sleeping over at a friend's house and have everyone gathering around to watch Saturday Night Live and people turning to me and be like, aren't you liking it? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, but you aren't laughing. I'm like, it's funny. And that's the way I always felt it. A little too long with the sketches always, but I haven't watched it in 20 years. So maybe I'm being unfair.
I love Celebrity Jeopardy. Are they still doing that?
I love...
It's really good.
I love Will Ferrell and...
I love Gumby.
I love when that guy was Burt Reynolds. Do they still do that?
I like George Carlin. I think he was in the first one. Mm-hmm.
Let me mention this, by the way. Bill Cosby just paid out another person $500,000.
Weird the numbers always.
It's weird that it's not news necessarily. Right?
Well, you're the only one reading the newspaper.
I know. This is what happens. Yeah. Another one. Are people over it? Do these defendants of him still believe in him?
I just think other things trend. And because you're reading a newspaper, you're reading like finite words that they had to make decisions on. And the rest of us are refreshing, going like, you know, maybe the Cosby thing lasted, you know, while we were not scrolling for a second.
Judy Huff got $500,000. She was assaulted at 16 at the Playboy Mansion in 1975.
Oh, my goodness. Is that what $500,000
is?
What was she doing with the house? How do you get to? You know what? I remember being 16. You can get into places.
Who's the? I don't know why the name's not coming to me right now, but I can picture his face. Who's the guy that outed Cosby in the first place by doing stand up?
Hannibal.
Hannibal Buress, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Mike Kaplan got the point.
And he doesn't like talking about it too much. I'd be thrilled everybody was talking about what a superhero I was. Thank God. Thank God for Hannibal Buress. You know,
Keith.
Yeah.
Find your own sexual predator.
He already did it.
No, he's not the only
so
one.
So many.
There's more.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's...
That was before you were canceling someone for calling them up. That was when you used to just, like, you know, call someone out for sexual abuse. Now you're canceling them. You're the bad guy if you criticize someone's sexual abusing.
Those were the days, right?
Oh, Mike, didn't I just see something on Twitter that you a joke about canceling? Cancellation.
Oh, I had a very fun tweet. You're right. Thank you, Chemda, for setting me up as
so
if
beautifully.
It weren't planned. And
it
wasn't.
That email.
Yeah. We email a lot. It was a back and forth between one person says my flight just got canceled and the other person says, oh wow, why, what did it tweet?
So cute.
Oh yeah, man. It's still out there. You're still allowed to retweet it. You're still allowed to like it. Pretty soon you'll be able to edit tweets, which they're looking into that. And I don't know, I've seen a few people tell these jokes, like jokes about this idea that on Facebook, if you know where you can edit things, you could post something and people could respond to it and like it, and then you could completely change what it is so that they their responses make them look the fool.
Yeah, it's supposed to give a timestamp, but that's not going to matter. A timestamp when you edit it, but nobody's going to read that.
No.
I mean, you see deep fakes of like Tom Cruise sucking his own dick, and people are like, Tom Cruise, but you just did Top Gun. Like, how could that be Tom Cruise sucking his own dick, you fucking idiot?
It's Joe Rogan. Come on, people.
He's the Top Gun. Why couldn't he? He should be. He can do anything. He does all his own stunts.
Don't do that.
Do you get nervous at all, Mike, making a joke on Twitter that might be taken wrong? Like somebody could think like, oh, is this canceled? People getting canceled? Is this a joke to you? Do you ever get nervous?
To answer your question, one thing.
Can you answer
time,
some other question first?
Okay.
Are you on the phone? I'll follow.
I do get nervous, but not in that situation. I have, over the years, gone back and like, you know, when people quote get in trouble for an old tweet resurfacing, I have like searched for keywords in my tweets and found ones that I'm like, that I don't stand by anymore, that I'm like, ooh, like I don't want to see that anymore, so I'm not gonna.
What are those search terms?
You know, things like meanie, villain, stupid.
Jafar.
Yeah, you won't find a single tweet about Jafar on my feed.
No, we don't want to be mistaken about if he's lovely or not.
Yeah, the only one that was there was so Jafar, so good. And I was like, well, no, I can't have people knowing that I said that.
What is the upcoming Podfest that I'm seeing about? Shane and Mike working together, right?
Yeah,
I'll handle
this so
this.
Much. May I try? May I try? Because I love this. You guys are basically having a science camp that's fun and outdoorsy, and people can come with their tents or get, you know, cabins or maybe hotels nearby. And there's going to be food trucks and there's going to be science lectures and other fun things that I'm not mentioning. Am I close?
That's pretty close. Yeah, it's my festival. It's the Mind Under Matter Festival with me and my co-host Ramin Nazer. Mike is performing and doing a live version of his podcast, Broccoli and Ice Cream at It. And it starts next Friday. It's in Raleigh, 20 minutes from downtown at the beautiful Lakeside Retreats. And it's basically Ramin and I, this podcast that we started like a little over a year ago and have a nice little following, but we have a lot of artist followers, and we were
speaking of
February.
May I interrupt for a second? Ramin is the influence of my tattoo that you can't really see here, but you know the brain stuff that he does is in there.
Oh, nice.
So his brain design is in here,
a
inside my
mark.
Question mark.
Yeah. There's going to be a tattoo artist, and there's like several people that have already said that they're getting a tattoo, which is insane to me.
Absolutely.
And Ramin has a bunch of artist followers because he's not just a popular artist, but makes a lot of art about making art or getting motivated to be creative and that sort of thing. And so we were like, wouldn't it be fun to have all these artists in our community at some sort of festival or something like that, and talked about some similar things that I've done that are like that. And then the owner of this property had just starting doing small festivals a few years ago, and so connected with us, and then we were like, this is a amazing dream situation, and I jumped at the opportunity. And then it's been fun for 4 or 5 months, and now it's just nothing but pure stress, emailing every day, doing a lot of like loose end type stuff, food trucks canceling here and trying to fill in a thing last minute and a zillion things like that. And then I'm very excited for it all to happen because it's going to be a blast.
Then it'll be over with the emails.
quick question, Shane. Two things. Number one, two questions.
How could it be? Quick question, and then there's two already. Yeah, oh, my
two,
God.
Two very quick. I don't know what quick means, but I have two quick questions. One is, you said it's a dream situation, but it sounds more like a Coke dream situation. more of a comment than a question. Number two is, with these food trucks that are canceling, what did they tweet? Why? Wow.
Now Coke dream sounds like something that happens to you when you take too much and you fall asleep. Like those are headache. Just coke dreams.
coke dreams could mean different things, for sure.
I picture there's a tattoo artist there, and someone's like, I want to get Shane's podcast on my arm, and Shane's there like, are you sure? Why?
Oh, yeah. I don't encourage anyone to get a tattoo of anything that I've ever done or influenced.
I'd love to see
three people.
Really good friends or family members. One of them gets a Mind Under Matter podcast tattoo, and the other one gets a tattoo of Shane shaking his head and being like, I wouldn't do that.
Real judgy.
He turns his arm fast. You can see him shaking his head now.
I have zero tattoos, so they're one of the few things in life that make me nervous. So
I don't have any tattoos either, but keithandthegirl.com/tattoos is one of my favorite things in this whole wide world. We were in Canada, and we had a tattoo artist with us, and somebody that knew nothing about Keith and the Girl ended up hanging out and goes, I'll take a tattoo. That'll help my rap career. And I'm like, what am I? Well, you know, a producer? I don't know. Maybe it will. Who the fuck knows? So he gets our logo, gets the .com written on it. And the funny thing is, I never heard from him ever. I'm like, he's like, how do I get in touch with you? I'm like, it's on your arm.
two quick things. Number
Thank
one,
you. I like I knowing. I like knowing ahead of time how many things. Go ahead.
Number one, tattoo does almost rhyme with rap tune, so that could help if you're listening out there.
Well, if he ever calls, we are keeping that in mind.
Thank you. Number two, if I understand correctly, Shane doesn't have any tattoos. Keith doesn't have any tattoos, so Chemda and I are the only cool people here.
Yeah.
What's obviously, look at my smiley face on my hand. No cooler than that.
Oh, yeah.
What's your tattoo, Mike?
It is
several, no?
Oh, just it's a robot with a heart right there. I don't know if you can see it.
Oh, like a lying robot. Okay.
Wasn't that a heart before, or you had the heart somewhere else?
That's correct. It was originally just a tiny little heart that I got tattooed because a girlfriend doodled it on my shoulder in 2011 or so. And I was like, love, I love love. And then we broke up and I was like, love. I'll get a robot.
Yeah. Did you change the meaning? Like now does it mean like people call me a robot, but I have a heart?
I mean, it was always, that is when I locked up my heart inside my cold robot exterior, Keith. A buddy of mine drew the robot, and so really, the robot also represents love.
Well, Mimi Cherry's writing in as you guys are talking, I still need to get me a KTG tattoo, but I still can't pick one, LOL. I need a mix of Wave Puncher and Pothead.
I can see
Pot
that.
Puncher, yeah.
Wavehead.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Kenda, of course, loves pot, and I'm busy saving the world.
Yep, that's accurate. Stamp it. Very true.
Stamp it into your skin.
Now I'm just like, well, how are people going to fix my tattoo? Like, once we are no longer a show or whatever. 2 years from now.
But something. That's why you have a tattoo. When there's no show, you still have that.
Yeah.
Ooh, here's what it is, Shane. They'll just get a tattoo that says Mum for Mind Under Matter. And then later, if the show doesn't exist anymore, they'll just be like, Mum, actually, it's gone.
Yeah, it's for my mom. I had a friend do that where he was, his first tattoo, I think he was 16. And his parents let him get it. It was a Limp Bizkit tattoo.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
His parents are cruel.
The song Faith had just came out.
And not even their songs.
I gotta have that.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he tattooed Faith under his knee, but it just says Faith. So no one knows that it has anything to do with Limp Bizkit, but that's why he got it.
Now everyone knows.
Shane's spreading the word. He's like, I will not have this confusion in my life or yours.
Somebody says, ooh, Faith, and the guy just giggles like, idiot. It's not even about Faith necessarily.
And he has, on the other knee, Nookie, and he's like, that's actually from a Jesus quote.
Yeah. Next week, like we mentioned, we're going to be off. We'll be back September 14th with an all-new guest for you. Maybe a I'll take advantage of the final days of the sun. I'm going to finish the Dead Emails book. By the way, I just passed a part where Mike Kaplan's in the Dead Emails book, of course. And here's just a little section. So we took some of the quotes that people said on the show. KeithandTheGirl.com/dad is what I'm talking about. Now we're going to put that in book form. Keith says, why does he not tell my mom what's happening? Because my, well, you know this, Shane. Mike sees all sides to everything.
Right.
There's not even two sides to this guy.
Do you know what we're talking about? Keith catfished his dad for a year. His dad thought that he was talking to Keith's ex-wife, but he was really talking to Keith. It got very weird constantly, everywhere, all at once.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then Mike's trying to show me the good side of this.
I'm just asking questions.
Jacking off.
And he's like, what if this is your dad's way of talking to you? I'm like, no, he was talking to my ex, he thought. He didn't know he's talking to me. Well, he doesn't know how to reach out to you. Oh, okay. So I asked him, this is what I'm looking at, why does he not tell my mom what's happening if he cares so much? And Mike said, because he doesn't want her to worry about anything. And then in the book I wrote in brackets, Keith and Kemda laugh so hard that they come all over the place. I'm very excited about this book, Mike, and thank you very much for being part of it.
I'm going to edit that part. It's going to be maybe a little different.
We'll see.
You're a part of my art, and I'm a part of yours. Yeah. Wow. It's an honor.
Oh, well, while Keith is doing that, I'll be camping. And in fact, when we come back for OMAT that Monday, I'll be doing OMAT from the campground.
Okay.
You're going to be camping, but Shane's going to be camping, and I'll be at the camp. We're all going to be camping.
I'm going to break into everybody's house.
Joke's on you. Shane doesn't have a house.
I do, actually. It's just not much of one. I'm squatting in a place that's like constantly under construction, essentially. That's not totally true, but
wow, you're leaving the lies for the end. Okay, no, if this is the way you want to go out, you're squatting.
I just tattooed.
I mentioned, the podcast you want to download, Broccoli and Ice Cream and the Faucet from Mike Kaplan, and Here We Are and Mind Under Matter from Shane. If you want to find out about this this festival of music, science, talk, comedy, art, and wellness, literally everything. I think that's every word. Where should they go for that, Shane?
MindUnderPod.com. You only have a couple more days to get tickets online and save the service fee from paying at the booth.
Do I have to bring my own drugs, or is it safe to assume just bring a little cash? You're going to be just fine.
No comment. Okay. I'm pleading the fifth.
All right.
Look at him.
Just a guess on my part.
I'm being very ex-presidential right now.
He's a flaming Cheeto.
Keith, be cool, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing at a Grateful Dead concert? I assume there'll be drugs here. I have cash, as I've been told to bring.
Hello,
Let's not make it weird. I am not a cop. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Look at my shirt. I got not a cop tattooed.
Thank you, both of you. It's always good seeing you. I appreciate your time.
Great to see you guys.
Same.
And that's that. We'll talk to you soon. KeithandTheGirl.com.